Hey everybody, welcome back to the 21CD podcast. This is episode 2 and I am your host John, and this is my brother and co-host AJ.
I'm AJ, the co-host.
Today we have a really fun one, and it's kind of popular these days. We're going to talk about the idea that feral people inhabit the national parks, and maybe an alternative theory about people living in the parks but not necessarily being feral, just kind of being just people who live in the wilderness. Of course, feral people are people who are less than, like they've sort of reverted back to their animalistic ways. That's the idea. So when people talk about feral people, what they're talking about are people who are closer to animals than humans. That usually means they don't really wear clothes. They've
become disconnected from social norms,
right?
And so they've devolved in a lot of ways,
right? And there's a lot of like weird ideas that us civilized people give to feral people, such as like they're cannibals,
right?
But I think it's completely possible that people can be feral and not be cannibals.
Yeah,
I mean, you have feral dogs that, and all sorts of feral animals that aren't eating their own kind.
Yeah, I mean, cannibalism is definitely a different thing than just going out to the woods and becoming out of touch with reality.
Not like, I don't know. I feel like,
I don't think it's a default.
I think it's one of the things that when people start talking about feral humans,
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons that the government and like the Park Service is so quick to be like, no, there's no feral humans, is because one, they don't want us to be afraid of it. But then two, also they're just like, there's no cannibals out there. Like, what are you talking about? Like, cannibals right. are so rare in the world in general at this point that the idea that they're running around in like the Smoky Mountains is kind of bizarre.
Well, yeah. And I mean, that's part of why this conversation is going to be really interesting, because there are a lot of different perspectives on it. But at the end of the day, it's like there's 600 million government acres.
Is that how many it is?
It's even more. It's over 600. It's like 640 million acres in the states that are just, I mean, national parks, government land, just part of that system. And it's like, that is a lot of space. And like, when you talk about something like this, of course, you always kind of look at it from like an American worldview, because
right.
that's where we are. That's what we're familiar with.
Yeah.
But like, there are cannibalistic feral tribes in the world.
Oh yeah. And
we just,
back,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And they're in the jungles, and they're in
600
the hills.
Million. Wow.
Yeah, it's something like 640 million.
So one of the things that I was thinking about when I didn't actually look up how many acres or anything there are, but one thing that I thought of was, no matter how many acres of actual like national park and like BLM land and all mm-hmm. of that, you also have people, like just regular people, who own a megaton amount
yeah,
of land.
It's true.
And so like when like we've been watching Yellowstone, like when you think about like even the Dutton Ranch,
yeah.
obviously it's not a
right.
real ranch, but there are people who own a massive amount of land.
Yeah, 20,000 acres.
And that
in Montana.
Can count towards that land that we just don't know what's going out.
It's like, true. Like, yeah, and it's not exclusively government land for sure.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of forest lines that don't have a fence put up, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of land. There's a lot of land. It feels like, I don't know, kind of just,
it feels like when I've, so all of this, let's take a step back. All of this sort of really, this theory of feral people, I think it's been around for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
but it's recently made its way back into the sort of forefront of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And that's due in part to this one TikToker who got on TikTok, and I'm not going to plug because I don't care, but she basically uploaded this random video being like, there's feral people living in the Smoky Mountains, and this is the proof, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, of course, didn't show any real proof.
Right.
And, but brought up some cases that we'll be discussing, and said basically, this is why.
Sure.
And we'll discuss those cases, and I'll tell you why I don't necessarily believe that they're proof of their being feral people. I do think there could be feral people, but I don't think what she said is the actual proof that she thinks it is.
Okay.
Anyway, all her videos got taken down.
I saw something about that.
Yeah. Right. So now people are just like, it must be true. The government is tracking her TikTok.
Well, there was another guy, a Canadian guy, that happened to as well. And
are you talking about the guy who saw the giant?
Yeah, up on the mountain.
He's dead now. Did you know that?
I did know about that.
Yeah. Yep. And they say the CIA killed him.
They don't know what happened, but that is the going rumor.
But I also saw some people, and it may be propaganda. We don't know what's going on these days, but some people actually came forward and said he faked it.
Well, that could totally be a possibility that bounced in my head. And obviously, like, you don't mean any disrespect. Like, we don't really know what happened, but that's why we're talking about it, because it's weird and nobody really knows what happened. But somebody posted something about a giant and made a whole bunch of videos. All those videos got taken down, and there was a conspiracy about the government being involved, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
So it's like,
he's certified dead. So some people are speculating that he did all this and then unalived himself, essentially.
Mm.
But he wanted to go out with a bang.
Mm.
That feels like so, like, Epstein, though. You know what I mean? Like, that, what? I watch his videos, you watch his videos, and I'm not saying you can't see that stuff coming, but, like, it's kind of just like, that didn't seem like what it was.
No, I mean, I would need to do a lot more research on that entire specific situation before I felt comfortable giving, like, a solid opinion of what happened, but the way it impacted me is it's just weird. Like, it's very bizarre that happened. And then the same thing kind of happened with this other girl.
Yeah.
Where she had these videos up and was building a viral trend. And then it just got shut down kind of out of nowhere. And there's no real reason for it.
So, yeah.
Did she disobey some guidelines or something? Like,
very possible.
Okay. Okay. These are the ones that get taken down.
Yesterday.
Right. How many videos go up every day that break some sort of guideline that stay up for weeks?
Well, I'll tell you this much. We uploaded 6 yesterday, and they all got taken down.
Really?
I'm not saying it's the government. I'm saying something happened on TikTok, and they got taken down, and we don't know why, but who knows?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we lost, like, a bunch of followers the other day because they were all bots. So, like, I think we're definitely in this age where social medias are starting to purge without warning a lot. And I'll be very clear. I do believe there are people living in the national parks that we don't know about. But I think these people who think they're being monitored by the CIA when they're literally just, like, 17-year-old white girls posting random ideas about feral people in the parks.
Right.
The CIA doesn't care about you. Like, sorry. They don't.
They probably don't have any.
No.
Any interest.
like reduce your expectations to none, because they don't care about you. But,
well, and not everything is a conspiracy.
Exactly.
And that's why I think, like, when you talk about some of these subjects that are, like, kind of off the wall, kind of strange stories, it's very easy to quickly just be like, well, it's just a conspiracy theory, and just let it go out of your mind. But, like, when you do think about the fact that there are several documented instances of feral people, and there's several documented instances of people living in the woods and in the national parks.
Yeah.
And then, like, on top of that, the National Park Services don't have a list for missing people in the parks. And so, like, there's no real understanding of how many people do go missing in the parks. And then it's also just like, that's been something that people have done for centuries, is they will go out into the woods and they'll make a life for themselves. Like,
did you hear that David Politis, the 411 guy?
Yeah.
He asked the National Park Service for a list of all the missing people.
Yeah.
And they quoted him like some certain, I think it was like $20,000 or $40,000, they said, to comprise the list.
Yeah.
And he actually basically crowdfunded that money, knew it was total crap because it should be like public domain knowledge type stuff.
Right.
And he was pretty much just like, okay, whatever, I'll play along.
Yeah.
And he ended up crowdfunding the money, gave it to the National Park Service, and they then admitted they have no list.
Yeah. I do remember that story. It was like in 2017 or 2018 or something. And yeah, there's no database for it, so it just hasn't ever been created. And I forget like what the actual numbers are, but it's something like, I don't know. Maybe I've got it pulled up somewhere. It's over 1,000 people a year.
Oh, yeah. And we just got back from the Smokies. We went to the Smokies for the weekend. And I think in the Smokies alone, it's about 400 people who have gone missing there in recent history. So I'm not exactly sure how many go missing a year, but...
Yeah, okay. So it's... And this is at least 16,000 people, perhaps many times that number, remain missing on public lands. So those are known instances where a person has gone missing on the parks. But that's not everything.
How many did you say? 1,600?
1,600.
I mean, this is really interesting because one thing that says to me immediately is there are 1,600 people who could still be out there. Like, yeah. That is evidence to me. And we're going to get real. Let's just get right into it. So, like, I think that if you don't believe in feral people, absolutely, you have to at least believe in the idea that people will go into the woods for the purpose of not coming out.
Right. I mean, there's shows on Hulu about that.
Yeah. I mean, what's that one that we watched? The one where they go and try to survive for as long as possible.
Well, that's Alone.
Alone.
But there's that other one, like, out, like, off the grid or something.
Off the grid and alone. But my point with that is, like, these are people who are doing it for fun.
Right.
For a game show.
Right.
How many people like that are doing it not for fun, but because they just don't like society?
They're just not about it anymore.
Yeah. It could be any number of people.
Like, I mean, if I myself have even thought of doing something like that, I guarantee you there's people that do it.
I've thought of doing it a lot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I've thought about trying that and just seeing what happens. I mean, I've practiced it. That's what camping is. But
yeah, I mean, you have, again, I think, like, if you want to exclude the idea of feral people, literally people being as animals, living in the woods basically as animals, and you just want to go to the idea of more of a lost tribe or lost civilization of people.
Yep.
You know, when people think of lost civilization, they think of something like the Mayans or Aztecs.
Right.
But if there's like 75 to 100 people that are living together in some sort of hippie commune, 100 miles into the Smoky Mountains or something like that, I kind of count that as a tribe. So, like, that to me would be a lost tribe.
It is.
A collection of people who went out.
Right, right.
How many, like, and those types of people are going to be people who are abiding by their own rules. They're not being governed by the powers that be.
Yeah.
They probably have their own method. They definitely have their own way of getting food.
Yep, and living off the land. Well, and that's why, like, I think for a lot of people, the entire idea of a person or several people or a tribe living somewhere out in the woods or the jungle is, like, kind of hard to even believe. Because it is hard. Like, it's extremely difficult to live out in the woods disconnected from everything.
Yeah.
You have to typically have some sort of primal ability to keep yourself alive. Mm-hmm. And like, if you don't have that, you're probably going to die relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're at. But like, again, it's easy to kind of look at it from that frame of view because you're in America. But like, when you go to South America and there are real tribes that live in the jungle and they don't have any modern amenities, and they don't have, you go to Africa and there's tribes that live off of the land and they have been there for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that does exist. We just don't think it exists here.
Well, it used to. And that's the thing. Like,
right.
So have you, like, of course we've all heard of it. Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even when you go back to some of the colonists, you have like Roanoke, which we have a lot of ideas about what happened to Roanoke that don't really involve conspiracy. But to me, when people come out and they say, well, no, they didn't just get evaporated or sucked up into the sky by aliens, so there's no conspiracy.
You want to remind me of that story?
So Roanoke was, it was at about the same time as Jamestown, if I remember sure. correctly. And basically what happened is there were some settlers, and they had this, I think the town was called Roanoke, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, the town was called Roanoke, and a bunch of the guys went off somewhere to get food and more resources.
Yeah.
Because the coming winter was going to be really bad or something, and they didn't have enough food. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know the whole exact story. But those guys returned, and they just found a vacant village.
Mm.
Nobody was there anymore.
Sure.
And if I remember correctly, in one of the trees, the word Croatoan was carved into the tree.
Interesting.
And everybody just believed somehow that they just disappeared into thin air, like some sort of Bermuda Triangle thing.
Okay.
But recently, there have been more people coming out and saying they were basically absorbed by a native tribe.
Mm.
And this native tribe was just kind of maybe like, you guys are going to die. So
sure.
come live with us. And yep. they basically intermingled and just blended in. But that is how lost tribes start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those settlers technically were a lost tribe. And mainly because we just don't know what happened to them.
Right. And I mean, there's 100 instances of tribes that just go missing and we don't know where they are.
Yeah, another one that I had a lot of fun researching was the Moon-Eyed people. Have you heard of them?
No, not really. I mean, I remember us kind of having a brief discussion about it the other day, but I don't really know anything about it.
So the Moon-Eyed people were this tribe, mini-civilization of people. There are some that say they even built a fortress in Georgia that we should go to because it's really not that far from here.
Yeah.
And they were about 3-ish feet tall, and they had very pale skin and gigantic, oversized blue eyes.
Interesting.
And they have been also called white Indians. And they were around at the same time as the Cherokee, and the Cherokee actually ended up going to war with them. But the thing about these Moon-Eyed people is they were so pale that they couldn't come out in the daytime, and they couldn't even come out if the moon was too bright because it had too much of an effect on their vision and I guess their skin.
Oh my goodness.
In the case of the sun.
Huh.
And some people say that they are literally aliens. Other people say that they are a tribe of underground people.
I was just going to ask something from underground.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And others say, it seems like this is the most accepted idea, is that they were actually descendants of Welsh explorers that came here long before Christopher Columbus even landed. And these guys, basically, it was 10 ships of Welsh men and women who came over here while the Welsh were kind of undergoing a civil war. Mm-hmm. One of the princes basically said, nah, I'm not fighting for this, I'm out. And he took 10 ships and he came here to America, and they settled in Alabama. And years later, the moon-eyed people were where they were.
Wild.
Yeah.
Are there actual like accounts of that prince leaving and just kind of disappearing?
Yes.
He just went missing, huh?
The accounts, we'll have to, let me look up his name real quick, and while I'm doing that, I'll tell you the story. But basically, the accounts are that he left Wales. He came over here with his ships, or at least he tried to, but his ships were never found, and he was never heard of again.
Sure.
So some of the Welsh and a lot of historians just say he died
just
in
at the bottom
storm.
Of the ocean.
Yep.
Yeah.
They just died on the way over here, and that's all there is. And others say, no, he actually made it here. So it was Madoc Ab Olwen Gwynedd is the prince.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And basically, just to finish up the story, when the Cherokee went to war with them, and the Cherokee apparently have stories of this, they demolished the Moon-Eyed people.
Sounds like they would.
And the Moon-Eyed people fled up north and went as far north as Illinois, where they built these gigantic mounds. Have you heard of those?
I mean, so the mounds sound familiar.
I'll put a picture up on the screen for you guys, but the Moon-Eyed people made these mounds called the Cahokia Mounds in Illinois, and that's what it looks like.
Okay, I have heard of this before.
Yeah.
I have seen this.
Apparently after that, they disappeared forever. Nobody ever had any more tales of them.
Well, and I've seen that this is potentially even a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
A destructed form of some pyramid that was built thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm. So that's one example of just a completely lost people, that they may still have descendants in the woods. They may still have descendants in places we just don't go and we'll never go, and because it's so far out there. And the only people who would happen upon it, I guess, is like,
right,
like people like us who go deep into the backwoods. Or
like way out there.
Military operations or pilots who
satellites.
Happen. Yeah.
That type of, yeah. Well, and I mean, that's one example of, yeah, a tribe that nobody's ever heard of before. And they're just...
Well, a more popular one is the Naha people from the Nahanni Valley.
Right, right. The Nahanni people. That's a very weird story. That's kind of a wild one. That whole area up there is just...
Do you remember it enough to tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, man. I know. Let's see. I don't remember exactly when it was. Let me pull it up here. But basically, there's this region in Canada that is technically part of a national park. But it's so far north in Canada that in order to get there, you got to either take a boat up a river. Mm-hmm. There's, I think, two different flights that you have to do to get up there.
Well, a lot of people know it as the Valley of the Headless Men. Because of all the decapitated bodies that have been found up there?
Yeah, there's some places up there that are kind of known for being pretty hazardous. I think there were
a couple tribes that lived in this Nahanni Valley in Canada, and I don't remember the name of the other one, but the Naha were basically this violent tribe. And this other tribe, they would basically raid this other tribe and take their women, and eventually this other tribe was just like, nah, we've had enough. And so they combined together and launched an assault in the middle of the night on these Naha people, and they found the Naha camp completely vacant. And the Naha people were never seen again. And some people say that the Naha left because of giants in the Nahanni Valley.
Sure.
Which, I mean, that's a whole nother podcast episode.
Yeah.
But, and they later became the Navajo people.
Oh.
Remember?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a while since we looked at this, but it's one of our dream trips is to go to the Nahanni Valley and try to find some of the relics that have been left there by all the people who have both ended up decapitated there. There's a huge amount of gold that was supposedly out there.
Yep.
And that's just a whole nother amount of, like, type of person that could be out.
Just a whole nother tribe that just doesn't have a history of where they went.
Yeah.
And, there's some speculation that they then became the Navajo Valley, but they don't know.
No,
that.
They have no idea.
And that's, like, both of those are examples of entire groups of people that have gone missing.
Yeah.
And there's no instances where they show back up. But... again, if you don't really think that there's people that live out in the woods, it seems vastly
ignorant
in a way. Like, there's got to be people who go out into the woods. Maybe not a whole lost tribe, but
yeah,
there are people that go and live into the woods.
We have issues in this country, and I'm sure in other countries, where like FBI Most Wanted and whatnot will disappear into the parks. Mm-hmm. And so at a minimum, what is known for certain is that there are people who go into the parks and don't come out for a long time. Criminals, right. Moonshiners.
There's this article I read.
Off-grid survivalists.
Yeah, there's this truck driver driving from Alabama, somewhere up north. He was on 68, I think. And he saw somebody walking on the side of the road, and at first he thought it was a Bigfoot because of just the way it looked. It was just a humanoid figure covered in mud, hairy.
Dude.
Like, he was like, that might be a Bigfoot. And so he called in.
I've heard of this. Yeah. Tell me more. Tell me about
and,
it.
And
I'm going to blow your mind when you're done with this.
All right. I'm ready for it. But he called in, and the cops came out, and they were like, you know, I think this story is true. And the cops went out, and they did a 3,000-acre search of these woods next to this road. And they did find a guy who was living out in the woods. Didn't know any English. He was not able to communicate effectively. He did not come willingly. He was violent.
Oh, really?
And it was this man who had gone out into the woods and had been missing for 4 years.
Oh, crazy. That's crazy. A completely different story.
And so, this guy was out there living in the woods. And the article said that he was so out of touch with, like, basic hygiene that there is actually moss and algae growing on his body.
Really?
Yeah.
So did they get him to come back, or like what was the end result of that?
They took him in, and he got sent to a hospital and started getting care and putting him back to a place where he was at least healthy, but there's no follow-up on that story.
I imagine not. They probably don't.
Well, that
I mean,
guy,
it might not even matter to most people.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think about
the
situation that is, that guy probably either wants to remain gone or he didn't make it very long after. But
so that's just one type of example, though. Like that guy, he had he got discovered, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But if he hadn't gotten discovered, he'd still be out there.
Right.
And they wouldn't be looking for him.
Right. And what if you did have a situation out in the woods where you, were relatively comfortable and you just wanted to stay out in the woods?
Yeah. Or you had a group of people who were all like-minded and were just like, look, we're just going to make it work. We're all going to become, we are all skilled already at this type of thing. They're only going to become better through practice and then through routine. And before you know it, these people have been living, let's just say, out in the woods for, 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you're coming back after that.
If you can make it work, if you can survive,
the amount of sheer willpower to leave society would ensure that you would stay lost.
Well, and especially if you were really far, if you were really far and then you have kids and they've never been to town and then they have a couple of kids, those people
absolutely are
not really going out.
It only takes a couple generations of people being deep within the woods, removed from society, for it to become a very well-practiced way of life for those younger generations.
Right.
It becomes something that they are now used to, and coming to society would feel like you or I all of a sudden going to the woods to live like them.
Right.
It's a completely...
Yeah.
It's all they know. But... the story that I want to tell you was about this guy that actually Tony Merkel had on his podcast, and he found one of his buddies was telling this tale of somebody found this guy on the side of the road, mm-hmm. and he was kind of like that, like super disheveled and whatnot, and he had this disease that is only found in cannibals. All right, guys. So I want to talk about something crazy. This is venturing into the realm of like maybe not even true at all. But there's tales out there about this, and I feel like it's something that should be brought up when we're talking about missing people, or just people in general, feral people living deep in the woods.
Sure.
And it is 411 cases.
Yeah, I mean, the two pretty much go hand in hand.
People go crazy over these 411 cases. And for those that don't know, these 411 cases are really made popular by this guy, David Politis. And they're basically cases where people go into the woods and they're just never seen again. Like, they just vanish without a trace. Sometimes they're found, like, in really bizarre situations or very far from where they ever were.
Yeah.
But they're always dead and sometimes dismembered.
Well, I think there's one where they found the kid alive.
Oh, really? Which one is that? Do you know?
I do. But just a little precursor information. The 411 cases, again, they're a situation where somebody just goes missing, usually with very bizarre circumstances in the woods. Like they shouldn't have been where they were found, if they ever were. But the one where the kid was found, it was that one in, I think it was Colorado.
Okay.
That boy who was at, like, a boys' camp out in the woods at, like, a monastery.
Hmm.
Do you remember that?
Not really. Tell me about it. I don't really...
I'm pretty sure it was that one. But in any event, it was this 8-year-old boy, I think. And he went missing... And he was gone for several days, and they found him 2.5-3 days later, 8 miles away from his house. And he had
Where did he get lost?
He got lost playing in like his backyard.
Oh wow!
And he got found, like 8 miles away
at a monastery.
I think I'm mixing the two. I don't think this is the one at the monastery. It was this kid, and he had, like, barbed wire scratches, and they were pretty sure that somehow he had just made it miles and miles away from his property.
He probably just ran off.
They don't really know, but yeah. Somehow he survived out in the woods and in the cold for 2.5 days, and then they ended up finding him.
Weird.
They even interview him later, and he doesn't even remember it.
Well, maybe he got abducted by aliens.
Well, and there are a couple of different Amazon documentaries about the 411 cases, but a lot of the times they don't find them, and it's some crazy stories, and you just can't really figure out what happened to these people. They're just gone. They're missing.
Yeah. So there's this one that happened pretty close to home. We live in Tennessee, so in the Smoky Mountains, this is where this happened. The most, arguably the most famous 411 case is the case of Dennis Martin.
Yep.
Which is that little boy who went out with his dad on Father's Day, mm-hmm. and ended up just completely vanishing without a trace while he was playing with some other little boys, and they basically wanted to jump scare their dads.
Yeah.
And this kid just never jumped out of the brush to scare his dad. So he just completely disappeared. And there were thousands of people who came together in a search for him.
Crazy.
And it included a huge amount of military personnel. Mm. And look, a lot of this information is allegedly true. Okay, sure. So it's like, because if you look at the official report on the case, there's not mention of some of these details.
Sure.
And so people say that means it's not true. I don't necessarily trust my government, so I do believe that things can be eliminated from case files so that they're not known.
Sure.
And in any way, in any case,
yeah, I mean, even on a small scale corruption, that happens.
Exactly. Or if there literally is an agenda behind the National Park Service to keep something hidden in the parks.
Sure. Yep.
It's kind of odd how much they take from us, but they want to give us so much parkland to just enjoy, right? Of course, there's the whole conservation idea. We just want to preserve some nature because we don't want to destroy literally everything, but, you know, with our cities and our whatever. But
yeah,
you got to also wonder if there's something out there that they're really using the land for, or they're preserving on the land, mm-hmm. or they're hiding. So anyway, during this Dennis Martin case, the little boy was never found. And there was this guy that allegedly, his name was Harold Key, and he allegedly said that he saw Dennis getting carried off by some giant hairy man into the wilderness. And he only saw them because he was out there bird watching. And somehow he heard a scream and somehow saw this giant hairy man with a small child wearing what it seemed like Dennis Martin was wearing. Mm. And this man darted off into the wilderness. And so that's one thing. It's not in the case files.
Sure.
People are saying that it may be true. Nobody really knows for sure. If it is true, weird. If it's not true, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
There's other accounts that say that the Green Berets, because there were a large amount of special forces that were tasked to help find Dennis Martin.
I remember that.
That's kind of bizarre to me, because it doesn't really seem like something that the Green Beret would be responsible for doing.
I mean, it is something that would seem a little bit outside of their...
Yeah, like maybe the National Guard.
Yeah.
But like the Green Beret.
Or a couple surrounding police districts or something.
Right. The logical explanation that people use is that the Green Beret train in these woods, and so it's very familiar to them, and that's why they were brought in.
Sure.
Some people say they were armed. Some people say they weren't armed.
Well, maybe they used it as another training exercise or something.
Very, very, very possible.
Yeah.
You know, or... this was just a rare case where the Green Beret were sent in to help find a lost little boy. But no matter how I say it out loud, it doesn't sound like something real.
Yeah, it is a... Again, anytime somebody just goes missing and there's like no proof of where they went and you have no idea what happened to them, that's extremely strange, especially since nowadays everything's tracked. Everybody's got a footprint somewhere. And it's like...
Right.
For somebody to just go missing like that?
Yeah. Here's where this thing gets super Stranger Things. But, like, these Green Beret were kind of given information, allegedly, by these remote viewers / psychic people.
Sure.
Who worked for the government at the time. Because this is in, like, the 80s, I think. And the Green Beret were actually used to... And, the psychic basically said, like, he was kidnapped by these people. Like, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. And the Green Beret were basically used to cull the herd of these feral people or these people that lived in the woods that took Dennis Martin. That's the story.
Yeah.
So
weird,
right? Weird. And possibly like going down, like literally following Alice down the rabbit hole. Like it could have absolutely nothing to it. There was another strange instance where some guy, some anonymous caller in, whatever, he called in and he said, you know, you guys are messing up because you've been spending so much time looking on the ground. You need to look in the trees. And he never gave his name or an explanation. He hung up the phone. This is in the report, the actual case file.
Yeah.
And nobody to this day knows who he is. And some speculate that he is the guy who killed Dennis Martin and he hit him in a tree or something like that.
Sure.
Others say it's this legend of these Tennessee tree men that live in the trees and communicate with Knox and whatnot and on, like, on the trees.
Sure.
Which Weird. Could be another example of some kind of collection of people that live in the woods.
Yeah.
It's not known, and there are very few people who speculate on the matter, but just because there's not a lot of evidence to prove any of it.
Yeah. Did they ever find anything from the boy, or was it just...
Nothing.
Not his shoes?
None of his clothing. Clothes. Nothing at all.
Never found a trace. Anything. Just gone.
Yep.
Playing an innocent game.
Right, and these cases, they're a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. Like, people go in, and they never come out.
Yeah.
And, you know... There's nothing saying that this isn't because there are some type of people who kill these people in the woods.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, if you went deep into the woods to be separated from society and somebody accidentally saw you. It's kind of like a witness. Like, if you commit a crime, I imagine it feels like there's a witness now. They know we're out here. Paranoia sets in. We've got to kill him. We've got to get rid of the evidence. Got to get rid of the witness so they don't know.
Yeah, like if you were a feral person.
Yeah, or even just somebody who didn't want to be found living in the woods.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden somebody sees you.
Yeah, or from, like, again, if you look at it from more of a primal instincts kind of thing.
Exactly. Where it's
somebody who has been out in the woods for 30 years and
exactly.
has devolved to a point where seeing anything that could be food is like, it's instinct to just hunt it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It's one of those bizarre instances where I actually believe that these missing 411 cases are so strange that sometimes there's only a few explanations. Like, what did you fall into a portal? Did you get transported somewhere somehow? Are you really just in such a dire situation that despite all of the dogs, technology, and people
sure.
gridlining the terrain and everything,
mm-hmm.
you are just somehow in such a sticky situation that
yeah.
you are unfindable?
Well, and that asks, like, the broader question, which is, like, when somebody goes missing in the woods, generally it's one of four things, and typically we find them.
Mm-hmm.
Those four things would be, yeah, you fall and you get hurt and then you just can't get out and so you just die.
Mm-hmm.
Animals, which is the least of the four, but a bear comes up on you and tears you apart. Like, you're not typically going to be able to fight off a bear or a mountain lion that just falls out of a tree on you. So there's, like, yeah, you fall, animals... Weather plays another big part where, like, sometimes if it's snowing or it gets really cold or it rains and then you fall into the river, and that's kind of the last one, which is, like, water. Like, if you drowned or you get hypothermia because you fell into the water or something like that, the water is always going to be one of the most powerful forces that takes life. And so, like, if it's not one of those things and you don't find the body... Like, that's when you have to start being like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, is it some wild situation that goes beyond what we typically think about? Like, feral people stealing away a little boy in the woods, a portal, Bigfoot, whatever it is. Like, eventually, you got to ask those questions that are like, we don't know what happened, so what did? And, like, in order to get there, you do have to ask some weird questions.
Yeah, one of the weirder ones that, you know, I've just, as I sit here and ponder all these things, is these Nephilim. And to me, a lot of these conspiracy theories of cryptids and monsters and portals and all this kind of aliens, it kind of all comes back to, like, the Nephilim somehow. It always connects somehow for me. And... if these things existed, and they're out there still, and they still exist, where are they? If we're not seeing them on a daily basis, they must be hidden somewhere. And so if they are deep within the woods, and they are these sort of supernatural beings, and they can open up portals and whatnot, maybe their descendants are still out there too, running amok in the wilderness, trying not to be found, trying not to be seen until this apocalyptic event at the, you know, in the end days or something right. like that. And that's one example of how bizarre these theories can really go for all of these missing people that that are just never seen or heard from again.
Yeah.
You know, when you mentioned the water, a lot of times with these missing 411 cases, radical weather changes are a theme.
Yeah.
It is something that happens a lot. And I think even with the Dennis case, there was a large amount of water, like rainfall and whatnot,
sure.
after he went missing.
Yeah.
So you have these situations where, yeah, there's a billion weird ideas. One of the best for me, though, is just the good old-fashioned kidnapping. A good old-fashioned killing because of one reason or another. And then that person, that kidnapper, that killer is never found again. And it may very well be because they didn't want to be found in the first place, but whoever they killed or kidnapped saw them.
Yeah. I'm still caught up on the sentence of good old-fashioned killing. Good old-fashioned killing.
I mean, like, yeah. I say it that way because it doesn't have to necessarily be, like, the Nephilim.
Yeah, and that typically ends up being my personal thought on most of those situations as well, is where it's like, I know it's bizarre and some of the actual facts of the case just don't add up, and it doesn't seem like a person, but I think there are at least a handful of those cases where, yeah, there probably is somebody out in the woods and they just took him and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's cases where it is a little boy. There's cases where it's a 60, 70-year-old man. There's cases where it's just a regular aged person
right.
that just goes missing. And so it's not exclusive
well,
to
and there's
a
other
small,
cases where
vulnerable
people...
creature.
No. There's other cases, though, where they're actually found with their body parts cut off.
Yeah.
Like, their head is found one place 8 miles away, gently placed on a stone, and then their feet are found still in their boots, like, 16 miles from that location.
Yeah.
Like, those are the ones where it's like, how do you explain that? Or their body is one place, but their backpack is perfectly placed, sitting up on a stump somewhere else with all of the interiors intact.
Yeah.
Like, how do you explain that kind of stuff
yeah.
besides a literal person did this? And yep. for whatever reason, that person is not looting the contents of your backpack. Like,
yeah.
that is something where it's just like, you know, and yeah. I want to, before people who are listening to the podcast are just like, this John guy's crazy talking about Nephilim all the time. We're also talking about the 411 case.
Yeah.
And the other really popular 411 thing is that guy who came out after hearing those strange ape-like
yeah.
communications in the deep woods.
Yeah, that was weird.
And got, like, scientists to review them.
Yeah, and they're like, there's no creature on Earth that makes that sound.
Yeah, and they were like, well, no, there's no human on Earth that makes that sound, because they had
yeah.
to be, like, at least 7 feet high, and... You know, these scientists analyzed the sound, and they basically said, this is impossible to be made by a human.
Yeah.
I think that it's possible that these monsters that can be in the woods are supernatural in a big way, including those things. And since that was included as a famous 411 case, that's
yeah.
why I bring up the Nephilim, because it's a possible cryptid scenario where
mm-hmm.
these very well may be like one of these engineered monsters, these spiritual monsters that live in the woods that are also responsible for taking people once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, and... It can or it cannot go hand in hand with lost tribes. It's
right.
Look, we don't know what happened. So it's just kind of like these ideas
right.
that's, should all be thought about.
That's when you get to those questions.
Right.
And it's like there's so many instances of those people who go missing. I remember the one where the kid's just his shoes show up, just his shoes though. And it's like, they searched the area,
mm-hmm.
they went back, and then they found his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, something of intelligence seems to have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a dog or a bear. That's not a kid falling off a cliff. That's not somebody getting rained out. And
you're talking about the boots that were, like, found under the tree after they already searched the area.
Yeah,
like 15
they searched
times.
The whole place and they brought the dogs and everything. Yeah. And then, like, after the search, they did another search, and his boots were found in a place that they had already looked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's what makes you think that it's got to be something aware.
Right.
It's clearly not something just acting off of like menace.
It might be.
It could be. I meant more like
it could definitely be like a predator.
Yeah, it could be a person. It could be a creature that isn't very well known, like a cryptid. It could be whatever it is, knows what it's doing.
Yeah, I encourage all of you guys to go listen to the Sierra tapes. Those are the monkey-like sounds.
Is that it?
Oh! Like, those sounds that they were making, those are called the Sierra tapes. For anybody who wants to go listen, check those out. Tell me that's not some kind of beast in the wood that may be responsible for kidnapping young children.
Yeah, just look at it.
Yeah, like, check it out and just come to your own conclusion. Really look at it, though. Watch the YouTube videos and maybe read an article or two and really just analyze that and then come and tell me there's nothing in the woods kidnapping children.
Yeah.
But, like, what if they are, like, oh, man. Like, it depends on how deep down the rabbit hole we want to get.
It's exactly it, because, like, when you first start talking about, like, feral people, it's such an approachable topic, but at the same time, like, a lot of people don't really think that that's a real thing. But then, like, once you get to that, you're like, okay, well, then there's, like, cannibals, and there's feral cannibal stories, and there's, like, giants, which are also just, like, different people, and then there's, like, now you start talking about, like, Bigfoot. It's like, okay, now you're going down the hole where it's like,
only takes like 3 steps on the timeline before you're just like, oh, we're deep in the hole now.
Well, and like, again, a whole nother side of this that we don't really talk about is like, a slightly more spiritual side of things, which makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but like, you know, there are.
If you don't believe that you evolved from a primordial pool of
nothing.
You have to.
Nothing. Like, the spiritual aspect of things is like, demons and evil spirits. Fallen angels. And so, like, is that more believable, or is the Loch Ness Monster?
Let me try to make it a little more believable when it comes to fallen angels, guys. Or just evil in general. If you believe that people can do bad things, I feel like you have to believe in some kind of source of evil.
Yeah.
In a spiritual kind of way. Or else, like, you also have to believe, like, when a dog fights another dog and kills it, he must be being evil. Because that is, you can't believe in a soul if you don't believe in the spiritual. That's just the fact of the matter. If you actually believe you're an animal, then you are on par with the lion or the monkey or the dog that kills its own kind so that it has more of its species to mate with. You have to believe that we're on the same level. If you're not like that, then you believe in something spiritual and bigger.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's just a tangent. But so while we were on break, we talked a little bit about Native Americans and how, like, Native American tribes still exist, like, literally, and have for hundreds of years. You know, like, we're originally from Wisconsin, so, like, there's reservations out there still, and there are natives living on these reservations
mm-hmm.
who are descendants from great Native Americans from long ago.
Yeah, and, like, the Navajo Valley and stuff like that, where we were just at last year. Like, that's a whole reservation of Native American people who have.
So if they're still descendant, even though they're on their reservation,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing saying that there are not still descendants living in the wild on their territorial lands of old.
Yeah.
At all. Untold amounts of unfound caves, like cave systems that are just
mm-hmm.
all over especially in mountainous regions.
Right.
So now, when you look at the Native Americans that are possibly able to still survive in these regions and like maintain their way of life that they choose to live in, those most Native American tribes have tales of giants in North America.
Yeah.
Okay? Yep. So you look at that, and if you're like, you can be one of two people. One, no, those giants didn't exist. Native Americans are lying.
It's just a story.
It's just a story. Or two, they did exist. We don't know what they are. Okay, so we don't know what they are, or they didn't exist. If they did exist, then you have, where did the giants come from?
Yeah, where did the giants come from, and where did they go?
Where did they go? Exactly, because we're not finding any bones, really. So,
right.
Or at least we're not being told we're finding bones.
The ones you have seen, you haven't seen.
And then you have to look back, and then you're like, okay, giants have a great history of being descendants of fallen angels and Nephilim, as sort of a crossbreeding between fallen angels and...
humans.
Humans.
Yeah.
Which means they cohabitated with humans, which means humans can live with the Nephilim.
Right.
So then you have this missing weird tribe that is spiritual in nature, that doesn't want to be found, that is deep within the woods, and they might be responsible for missing Dennis. Like, I'm just trying to connect the dots here in a way that feels like it kind of makes sense for people who might believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people don't, which is...
Yeah, which is why it's a rabbit hole. Sorry you're on a conspiracy you did this cryptid to yourself. Podcast.
You made
Welcome
this decision.
Welcome to 21CD.
Right, asking the big questions tonight.
Yeah.
But...
I'm sure Oprah Winfrey has a podcast if you want to hear.
Yeah, go
other
listen
stuff.
To true crime tapes. But I mean, really, like,
people are gonna hate this one. They're gonna be like, they're crazy.
Oh man. Well, I mean, again, if a person goes missing in the woods and there's no real answer for what happened to them, like, do you just stop thinking about it? Like, you just stop asking questions about what happened. You just don't really, well, it's not for us to know. We're never going to know. Like,
it's so weird how, like, the question that people ask when they talk about that, like, that style of questioning.
Mm-hmm.
If a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? Or does it make a sound?
Right.
If nobody hears it, does it make a sound?
Yeah.
Yes, it
yeah,
does.
It does.
It does make a sound.
Yep. Yep. Person is missing. How? Again, like, you kind of spiral because you don't have the answers. And so if you don't talk about it and you don't think about it, you're never going to get anywhere. But it's also like, those are the things that are interesting to us. It's those things that don't have answers. And so when you start looking at, yeah, all of the stories of different people that go off into the woods, and then you also look at the same stories where people go missing in the woods, it's like, yeah, are those dots just completely disconnected? Does it have anything to do with other people in the woods? Does it have anything to do with giants? Does it have anything to do with cryptids or monsters? Does it have anything to do with, like, physical reality bending instances? Like, does it, like...
Did he fall in a portal? Anyway, guys, long story short, we've brought up a lot of ideas today. Some crazy, some not as crazy, some more explainable than others, but we just don't know what's going on in these national parks, these thousands upon thousands of acres of unused land, and, you know, these... undiscovered and these unexplored cave systems, these
in the States, out of the States, all right across the world, there's
we don't know what's going on, you know. And so in this episode, we tried to really just bring you guys a bunch of ideas of what could be going on, and if they're not feral people, what they maybe could be. But sadly, we don't have a conclusion to really come to other than We don't know what people are seeing out there, and we don't know why people are going missing out there. We just have no idea.
And when you start looking at case by case, and this is something that we've been interested in for a long time, and so I think sometimes our stories blend, but there's a lot of different stories. Mm-hmm. And when you really start looking at each one and you go through all of the facts and all of the evidence and you don't get an answer, and then you go to the next one and you get all the facts and all of the evidence and you don't get an answer, that's when it really becomes like a bigger, it's something that takes up space in my head.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people do think about, you know, yeah, like Dennis Martin. Like, that's not something that a lot of people really do keep in their thoughts, but it's like one of those situations where you just don't have any conclusion to something that is tragic. And
yeah.
It's hard to even, like, it's hard to come up with what to say about it, but like, that's why you start looking at these things as like, yeah, feral people. It's a pretty big subject. It could be.
Right.
And so again, we're trying to connect those dots between like missing people and people who choose to go missing.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if they're connected, but that's one idea. Monsters in the woods and caves and portals, and those are all other ideas. So
right. And what happened to all the tribes that have gone missing?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in North America.
Yeah,
what really happened prior to Christopher Columbus coming here and basically claiming that he was the first European to discover America?
Yeah.
Even though there's abundance of other stories and abundance of them saying that that's not the case. You know, what happened to all those people before him?
Mm-hmm.
What happened between, you know, the Dene and the Naha, and what were these moon-eyed people, and what is behind the missing 411 cases, and what were those sounds in the Sierra tapes? Like, there's so much that goes into missing tribes and missing people and these vast expanses of wilderness that we can't explain. And it seems extremely hasty and unfounded to say that there's nothing out there at all. There's nothing out there.
That almost makes less sense than just thinking there is something out there, but you don't know what it is.
Right.
You know, it's in a lot of ways, that's how people feel about space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, well, there's got to be aliens. There's got to be, because there's so much space. But it's like, yeah, you don't know, but I kind of agree with the general idea that there must be something out there.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it can't just be empty space.
It's like saying there's nothing in the Mariana Trench. Like, right. It's like, you know, like, when you look at the vast amount of wilderness in the USA alone, it's kind of like looking into the ocean.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes even less sense than that, because like, space and underneath 20,000 feet of ocean, those are two very, very extreme and brutal environments where life is actually struggling to find some sort of way.
Sure.
But then when you look at like a massive forest that is blooming with hundreds of different species of life and animals and wild creatures and plants and mushrooms and all sorts of different living organisms, it's like, that's probably the most likely place where you'd find something that you might not know.
Right. Like, right. If anything is going to survive in a place where you've never been, it's going to be the forest.
Yeah. You know? Jungles, the forest.
Right. There is life there, period.
Yeah.
And the only real question is whether it's human or not.
That's what we've been talking about today.
So
whether or not there's people out there.
Exactly. So if you get turned off by the idea of them being feral, just look at all the different types of people who may instead be living in these woods, you know, whether it be off-grid survivalists or prospectors, moonshiners, Hippies, cults, criminals. There's so many different types of people that could be out there in the woods, and there's nothing saying that they never band together and, yeah, occasionally kill wanderers who happen to spot them.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I did want to touch on just briefly is kind of that idea of, like, de-evolution, because I think it's really one of the main aspects of what would end up creating, like, feral tribes, people that stay out in the woods and lose their touch on, like, what makes humans more human.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's even instances where just, like, people and kids in general not given the right treatment in their home lose the ability to connect with people. And, like, there's situations that I remember reading about a story about this little girl who was raised by dogs for a handful of years and developed canine tendencies and lost the ability to talk with other people because she just wasn't doing it. There's abusive situations where, like, yeah, a possessive parent leaves their kid in the basement.
Yep.
And then that child loses her ability to go out because her eyes don't adjust to the light and she can't make friends and she's having mental disabilities because of the treatment that she was given.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you think about the ability that people have to evolve in small ways, they also have the ability to devolve.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put a person out in the woods and you just force them to try to survive, even on a game show like Alone, you see the de-evolution that goes into these people. Their muscle mass shrinks, their mind becomes slow. Like, it takes a toll on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's what I really think about when I think about feral people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the process of actually losing parts of your mind that would now make you more animalistic than human. And that I do think is extremely possible because it happens in society.
Right.
And so if a person goes out in the woods and the same process kind of happens, that is not far-fetched in my mind at all.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, those cases are a dime a dozen where kids are neglected and locked in basically a room for the first 12 years of their life before somebody discovers them accidentally. Yep. And these kids have no way of really communicating with normal people. And
a lot of the time they're malnourished.
Mm-hmm, and their bones have fused differently. And, you know, they can't even... I was just listening to a case where the child couldn't even stand up straight because she had been imprisoned in her crib. So as she grew, her legs grew sort of like against her thighs, her lower legs did. You know, like that's not what this is about, but it furthers your what you're saying about the fact that people can change within their own lifetime.
Yeah.
They don't have to be in the woods for 500 years before they become this sort of semi-devolved species.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even on, again, like a daily basis, if you go outside barefoot every single day, you're going to have a little bit tougher feet than your neighbor. Like, and so when somebody's out in the woods for a long time and becomes used to the habitat and stays out there, I think it's one of the more easy instances of the unbelievable, you know? It's very easy for me to rationalize that. And whether there's a connection to people missing in the forests and that same idea, it's hard to say, again, because a lot of the examples we brought up today, there is no real evidence of what happened. They're just gone. And,
even in our lives though, like we've been surrounded by a lot of like hunters and fishermen and those people know, like when they walk into the woods, they can instantly be like, there's something here. Be careful. There's something here. There's an animal here. Or this is where you want to fish. This is where you want to hunt. This is what kind of lure you want to use. This is this is how you want to hide in this situation.
Yeah.
If those are civilized people who know those things, just imagine how good people who have been living in the woods for a very long time would be at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a case in point is like the Native Americans when the colonists arrived. It was like the natives knew the land better than anyone,
like the back of their hands.
And it was, I mean, incredible to the point where we thought they were magic in some instances. Like, so when you look at that example, and then, yeah, you have somebody who's pretty intelligent and hasn't lost the parts of their mind that make them function as a
civilized person.
Yeah, as a human, as a weapon. Like, that's that again, like some of those 411 cases, I think there are some situations where there's a reasonable chance that it was just a person.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you know, it's not really, as we said in our last podcast, we're not trying to push any one agenda or another, you know, like mm-hmm. we just want to bring you guys the ideas and some of the stories that might help you formulate your own thoughts on the matter. But
100%.
One thing I can tell you, and I can tell you with the utmost of certainty and seriousness.
What is that?
We have been camping deep in the woods a lot.
Yeah.
And one thing that we, I feel, have learned a number of times in varying levels of creepiness is this. When you guys go camping in the woods and you guys go hiking deep in the backwoods in the wilderness, always know that whatever is out there knows that you are there before you know that it is there. So be very careful. Whether you believe in feral people or people living in the woods or jaguars or bears or mountain lions, just know that whatever is out there knows that you are there long before you know that it is there. So take that with you next time you go camping and you go hiking and you think you want to go off the beaten path. Just be ready for whatever may be going on out there, because it's definitely ready for you.